Blog Talk Radio.
Why is it Americans go to Paris, but very few go to Normandy? Yet it was the people at Normandy that made it possible for you to go to Paris. Ingratitude. That's an American trait. How quick we forget. How quick the communists rewrite history. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. The most disturbing news tonight, Thursday night, 5/28/09, at 6:48, is the price of oil is now reaching $65 a barrel. And banks who got money are speculating on the oil. Goldman Sachs and I think J.P. Morgan are both spiking up the price of oil. So we got a problem. Our tax dollars are being used to put us out of business. And the second biggest war crime being committed tonight is, and I don't know if it's true or not, but the blogs are starting to appear saying that the democratic influence on Chrysler and on General Motors is forcing General Motors and Chrysler to cull their dealers, and there may be a list of dealers who donated to the Republican Party that has to go first. And if that's true, let me tell you something. We should do a big dump on the government right now. We should fire the government. Because if that's what's taking place, that the government is seizing big business and using it to wipe out a small business, we got to put an end to it right now. Absolutely put an end to it. You got to dry up their perversion money. And the third issue tonight that is really upsetting is the fact that North Korea is pushing the envelope. And I got to tell you, I remember the Korean War, and I remember how quick those North Koreans came over the mountains and were in Seoul, the capital of South Korea, within an hour after the war began. And these are the same North Koreans. They didn't get fat. They didn't get lazy. They are lean, mean, and hungry. And when Kim Il-nook says go, they're coming. And the last time there was an incident on the 38th parallel, a North Korean soldier drove an axe into the back of an American soldier and split him in two. And that's how these people think. And it'll start off with a few gunshots and axes are being exchanged. And then all hell's going to break loose. And when that happens, the draft is coming back. And when that happens, the Japanese code word, climb Mount Nataka, will be issued again, and you're going to watch the Japanese military go nuclear. And when that happens, China's got a big problem. China and Japan are age-old enemies. And North Korea and Japan are age-old enemies. And the goal of the Chinese government is to reunite a communist Korea. That's their goal. It's the same one as reuniting a communist Vietnam, which they successfully accomplished. And in time, they'll accomplish the reunification of Korea. You can kiss South Korea goodbye. And 30,000 troops are not going to stop the onslaught that will come out of the hills of North Korea. So President Obama bin Laden is going to be fighting a two-front war, one in Asia and one in the Middle East. And our enemies are getting stronger by the moment, and he just took $1.8 billion off the defense missile program. So he's getting ready to win the hearts and minds of butchers. It's going to be interesting. And you know what? Take a good look at your kids. They're going to pay the price. It's not going to be you. You're going to be protected. You'll be off the hook. But your kids are going to be on the hook. And boy, they're not going to like it. When that guy reaches in the fishbowl and calls out your name, you're going. The draft is coming back. And never forget, Democrats get you into war and leave you to die on the battlefield, promising never to run again. And it's Republicans that get you out in one piece, W-O-N-P-E-A-C-E. You think about that and do a little homework. See who got us into Vietnam. See who got us into World War II. Think about it. And the last Democrat warrior was President Pinocchio Pants, who protested the war while he dodged the draft. He was smoking weed in London. And Chris Matthews, Rasbanjani from Marine Killing MSNBC, was hiding out in Swaziland practicing his guacamole dip while 58,000 Americans died, bled and died. And we destroyed a whole generation with drugs. And the legacy from Vietnam is 1 out of 5 Americans today is a junkie. And John McCain's talking about defending South Korea, and he can't even defend Arizona from the drug lords. Never once did he declare war on drugs. That's rampant in his state. And if you want to see some Democrat role models, just look at Marion Barry. Let us give you a little music and start the show. Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America and the Party and the Spirit of America Party Book.com. I was just following a story. I watched the History Channel this weekend and the Military Channel, and I was so impressed. There's three things that impressed me on TV this week. Those guys did crab up in Alaska. I don't know how they do it. But if you want to see what real Americans look like, the ones that build countries, you get a look at those guys. Look at that crew. And you can't get more American than those guys. I mean, that is lock, stock, and barrel America. The other thing that I watched, and I was very disappointed, in an incident that took place, I watched how cleverly U.S. Naval Intelligence had tapped the phone lines, the cable communication lines of the Soviet fleet, and got in right underneath the Soviet nose with their submarines, and sent underwater divers, scuba divers, 400 feet below the surface of the water, and tapped the cables that contained all the communication lines for the Soviet fleet. And I was so impressed with that, and how they kept it going for 10 years. And I flash back to our ability to win wars always began with breaking enemy codes, whether it be the German code or the Japanese code. We knew what the enemy was doing. Our intelligence was always superior to our enemies. And then I watched in horror as a guy named Walker, who had been in the military, walked into a Soviet embassy in Washington, D.C., and sold the intelligence to the Soviets for $35,000 and betrayed his country. He betrayed his country, and he should have got the death penalty. But in watered-down America today, we don't do that. We're civilized. We're going to be civilized until we're decivilized. So that was the heartbreaker, watching our country betrayed for 35 grand. You got politicians that won't sell us out for 35 grand. Unbelievable. And then tonight, I watched 911. Osama bin Laden, and all of the messages he sent us that he was coming. All the indications that he sent us that he was coming. And I got to tell you, I said it when the 911 commission was formed, that was a cover-up committee. And let me tell you what I saw. I saw President Pinocchio Pants giving birth to bin Laden. On his watch, he gave birth to bin Laden. Bin Laden was born in Clinton's womb. And he was more concerned with being impeached for getting harmonica lessons in the Oval Office than he was in defending the country. He's a loser who has been pumped up by the media. And that's why America is on the road to disintegration. And our intelligence was a total failure. The CIA was a total disgrace. The FBI was just as bad. Hang in there. We had no intelligence. And worse than that, on top of a lack of intelligence, we had the wrong political appointees in critical jobs, like the head of the CIA, the head of the FBI. And it's totally horrible. And one didn't compute with the other. One didn't commute with the other. So, as a result, we suffered the biggest defeat in military history since the inception of the United States. And you want to know something? The 3,000 who died on 9/11, plus the 189 who died at the Pentagon, plus I think it was like 84 down in Shanksville, they all died for nothing because we didn't learn nothing. We're worried about waterboarding the guy who put it all together. We're worried about waterboarding that guy. That guy should have been flayed alive. They showed a situation where the Filipinos caught two Al-Qaeda hatching hatching the 911 scenario, and they tortured them until they got the information that they needed. And they beat them to a pulp, and they put cigarettes out in their ears. Well, we don't do that. Well, let me tell you something. You take a look at those two towers coming down and tell me you don't do that. And then put your family up there on the 103rd floor and tell me you don't do that. And Obama can say what he wants about it. He doesn't do it. But I guarantee you, if his two daughters fall into the hands of Al-Qaeda, his wife will do it. She'll show them a few tricks with a straight razor. Yeah, it's also not... Everything is hunky-dory when you're hunkered down, when you're protected. But you go look at 911, and you review 911, and never forget it, because the day you forget it is the day it's going to happen again. And this Bin Laden, he is determined to destroy the United States, and he's going to do it. And he is very disappointed. He said it was a great day. It was more than he expected when he saw those towers come down. And I'm sure they danced and high-fived each other. But I guarantee you, when he found out it was only 3,000 dead, he was shooting for 100,000. He'll be back for 97,000 more. He'll be back for 1,000,000. And right now, he's 50 miles from nukes in Pakistan. And I guarantee you that money is changing hands tonight with the military to see who the Pakistani army is going to stand with. And, you know, we can't always buy, you know, if it comes down to we're putting up $1 billion and he's putting up $1 billion, it'll come down to religion makes the difference. You think about that. So, having said that, and watching those towers come down and seeing those people jump, I saw one guy, he had a small rope, and he was trying to work his way down the outside of the building, and he couldn't hold on. How sad. And a reporter said he saw a girl, she came to the window, and she blessed herself, and she looked up in the sky, and she made her body in a form of a crucifix, and she sailed on out. How sad that we lost so many good people, so many innocent people. And our biggest mistake is our intelligence. And I'll tell you something, there's too many political commissars running the intelligence agencies, and they're more worried. Like they said, they could have gotten Bin Laden, but somebody saw a swing set in a surveillance photo, so they called off the attack. Well, let me tell you something. Bin Laden doesn't care about swing sets, and never forget, he is on record as saying all American taxpayers are Jews. And we all know how they feel about the Jews. So in case you think you're exempt because you're not Jewish, if you're a taxpayer, mazel tov. So you think about that, and it's going to happen to us again, because we've gone back to leading with that chin. And the 911 hearings, they were all bogus. They were all a cover-up. That was a cover-up commission. And here's the other thing I saw. I saw President Pinocchio Pants, who was having a hell of a good time, lining his pockets, and he was planning for his future, and he wasn't thinking about the country at all, okay? And then in came Bush, and Bush thought he was going to have a good old time, just like President Pinocchio Pants. He thought everything was going to be hunky-dory, because the day he came in, and the Bin Laden platter was served up to him, he passed on it too. Hold on. So he didn't have a sense of urgency, and we're still paying the price for that. And we're going to continue to pay the price. And when you add up 189 who died at the Pentagon, and the Pentagon was a disgrace. I'm sorry, I got to tell it like it is. The Pentagon couldn't even defend itself, and our military and our Air Force defense system was a disgrace. When I heard a guy say, well, we couldn't see the planes because they were flying too low. I said, with all of the technology we got, you couldn't pick out a low-flying plane? They couldn't pick out low-flying planes in World War II. Where is the advances? And then they scrambled two planes and they sent them in the opposite direction, and the planes had to come from Langley Air Force Base to defend New York? And there wasn't any guided missile cruiser in the home port at Staten Island because Chuck Schumer sent it to Virginia? Yeah, all these politicians should have been tried for 9-1-1. They should have all been executed. 9-1-1 is the biggest defeat, and will go down as the biggest defeat in American history, even after it's rewritten by the communists. And I come out of church tonight, and there's an old veteran, and he's selling poppies. And I'm watching all the people going out the side door, ducking them. How sad. How sad. I bought them going in, and I bought them going out. I was the first one to buy it from him. He had to come out of his car. He was resting in his car. He had to come out of his car, and I said, God bless you. And then when I came out, I came out the side door where everybody was going out to avoid him. And then I walked all the way up to where he was, and I watched the people that were coming out the front door, and half of them, like he wasn't even there. They were talking to each other, making believe he wasn't even there. How sad. There's a country. What a watered-down country we got. Oh, I think if Nathan Hale was alive today, he'd say, for this? I gave up my one life for this? How sad. So, having said that, 9-1-1 is going to happen again. It's really sad. And the 9-1-1 cover-up, that's what it was. It was to make sure that the blame didn't fall on the people who were actually responsible. And Bush's biggest mistake was keeping all of the Clinton leftovers. He should have dumped the bathwater out with the baby. Let me give you a tune to cheer you up. This is really sad, I got to tell you. And that's what caused 9-1-1, our lack of intelligence. And it's the one thing we were great at. The one thing that we were superior at. And the media is partly responsible too. As a matter of fact, I would say the media is 50% responsible. Because when those jerks tried to blow up at the World Trade Center in 1993 and they only killed 6 people and injured 1,000, they took it off the front page as quickly as they could because they didn't want to let President Pinocchio Pants look bad. And they played it up like the Arabs were dumb, and they went back and got their money to try to get their deposit without the truck that they blew up, and everybody laughed it off. But you know what? There was a fireman who wasn't laughing because he was there. And he had in his locker a stairwell map of the World Trade Center because he knew they were coming back. And he was one of two who got to the floor where the plane had hit. He was the first one to get up there. And he was up there, and he was calling for 2 engines to come up and help fight the fire. And he never came out of it. And we lost good men that day. We lost a lot of good Samaritans that day. And something else I'll tell you. One of the guys who drove one of the planes... who piloted one of the planes after they slit the throats of the pilots. And they notice they don't show you that. They don't show you how much gore that must have been, huh? And did you know they practiced on camels? I thought they always practiced on sheep. But no, to do this mission, they practiced on camels, cutting the throats of camels. And one guy was just married, and he was going to paradise. And I said, how can you do that? Here you got a guy who's on a plane, he's saying goodbye to his wife and he loves her. He knows that he's not going to survive. You got a woman on the plane. She's saying goodbye to Ted Olson, who she's married to, and they love each other. And here you got this jerk who's going to paradise to get 72 virgins, and he's abandoning the wife that he got here on earth. And then there's two of them were in Florida, and they wanted a hookup for the night before they went to hijack the plane, and they didn't want to pay $400. I said, why would you want to hook her the night before? You're going to paradise. You're going to get 72 virgins tomorrow. No charge, according to the Quran. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Women are... they're one step above a camel in the Middle East. That's all they are. I'm sorry. The truth hurts. The truth hurts. When they stop hanging women in Iran on the back of tow trucks, I'll eat my hat. I'll eat your turban. And who made up this saying, radical Islam? There's no such thing as radical Islam. That's a Western saying. There's no Muslim out there saying there's radical Islam and then there's Islam. There's only one Islam. They will tell you there's only one God, it's Allah, there's only one Islam. No, but all of these politically correct communists that are running my country into the ground make up these catchphrases like radical Islam. There's only one Islam. And what's an insurgent? Is that like a new kind of detergent? There's no such thing as an insurgent. You could say it's a bad Muslim. Yeah, they're good Muslims. I think I know one. And I got a flashback. Immediately, while the towers were coming down and people were jumping with their feet on fire and splatting on the ground looking like chopped meat in a suit, immediately the communist media went to an ad, we're all the same, we're all brothers, and they started showing people of Middle Eastern descent as, I'm an American, look, I'm an American. Right away, they wanted to put a cap on a fight back fever, right? Unbelievable. So here's what they did. Three firemen, I think, went down to a boat and took an American flag off the boat. And then they came back and they raised it at the World Trade Center. And they had their picture taken. All three were from Staten Island, I believe. I know two for certain were from Staten Island, because two of them were customers of mine. But I think all three were from Staten Island. And I heard that one of them, his mother said, Hillary Clinton wants to have a picture taken with you. And he said, Ma, stay out of it. And he wouldn't have his picture taken with Hillary. How's that? But anyway. So they wanted to make a tribute to the 343 of firemen who died. Oh, you didn't know it was 343? Oh, you forgot. You know, when they do the count on how many died, add 200 to it, because they didn't count the unborn babies. And there was no mom going to an abortion clinic on Monday morning. Okay? So those were 200 pro-life babies that died with their mothers. Anyway, so they wanted to make a politically correct tribute to the firemen. So I think the guy's name was Ratner. I never trust anybody with the name Ratner. And he had a statue made, and he showed a black fireman and a white fireman and raising the flag, but there was no black guy in the original photo. But he wanted to make it politically correct. Yet, one fire truck lost 8 guys from the truck. 2 were black, 2 were Latino, and 2 were Irish guys. But they never got a tribute for those guys. I remember the black guy's name was Vernon Cherry. And Faustino Apostol was one of the Latino guys. No tribute to the real heroes. Just these goddamn communist make-believe heroes. But anyway, I said what I had to say. And just before 9-1-1, Bin Laden took out his arch enemy in Afghanistan, and that was the Lion of the Panjshir. His name was Massoud. I forget his first name. And they used two guys disguised as Moroccan TV cameramen, and they went in and blew themselves up, and they took out Massoud. And then the Taliban attacked the Northern Alliance. And thank God for the Northern Alliance, because that's what helped us get Afghanistan back out of control of Bin Laden. And it's too bad that Massoud didn't live to see it, because he definitely was the reason that Afghanistan is got a half a chance today. But of course, you know, once you're expendable, you're like a Hollywood star. Once your star burns out, you're forgotten. But I will always remember Massoud, the Lion of the Panjshir. And it was him who helped us take back Afghanistan, and it was his people. So there are people that will support the United States if the price is right. Yeah, but remember what I said. When it comes down to buying Muslim allies, if the money is the same, religion will make the difference. You think about that. And Bin Laden was upset with the Crown Prince or the House of Saud because he offered to defend Saudi Arabia against Saddam Hussein. He said he would bring his Taliban, and they said, no, we'll pass on that. And you know why they said, no, we will pass on that? Because they knew that once he was on the border, he would be coming for them next. Yeah, the Saudis aren't as dumb as they look. I'm only kidding. Don't take it personally. I seen the wind and the lion. I seen the kingdom of heaven. With no snooze alarm. That's what my wife does to me. You wait till 4 a.m. in the morning, and then you wake him up with an American frying pan. I cut that message short. What I meant to say was, all the Middle Eastern women should go American. And at least with the Americans, you're going to get flowers and candy. And if you got a husband that beats you, you know what you do? You wait until 4 a.m. When he is sleeping nice and sound, and then you wake him up with the American frying pan, the one without the snooze alarm, because that's what my wife does to me. I wanted to give a tribute to Ann Coulter. I caught Ann Coulter, or a clip of Ann Coulter, on The View. And Joy Behar, the communist guest on the show, she turned to Ann Coulter and said, how would you like to be waterboarded? And Ann Coulter said, how would you like to be aborted? You're pro-abortion. Yeah, and shut her right down. It was beautiful. She hit her right between the eyes. Big Mouth Behar, her jaw dropped wide enough that a jumbo jet could fly in. It was good. I like Ann Coulter. She's a mano a mano chick. The only thing is I don't like her taste in friends like PLO Dancer Maher. I can't stand Bill Maher. I think he's the lowest form of life in the world, Bill Maher. They're pushing him down. I got two channels. I got to change two channels to get rid of Bill Maher. And you want to know how lowly I think of Bill Maher? I think, first off, he's anti-American and he's anti-Christian, especially Catholic. So he rates, as far as I'm concerned, a free roll of my collectible Rosie O'Donnell toilet tissue. You know, the one that's extra wide. Here she is. I'm going to close this segment out, but I'll tell you how low I think of Bill Maher. I think that if Bill Maher was at the crucifixion, standing at the foot of the cross, our blessed Lord would look down and say, Bill, I'm doing this for everybody but you. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book.com. Hi, you boys and girls. Let's strike up the band. I was watching Fox this morning, and they were celebrating Fleet Week, and it's a Memorial Day weekend, and they were interviewing Marines, and the Marines were saying how great New York is, that everybody's treating them nice. Let me tell you something. New York isn't treating the Marines half of what they deserve. These guys are grateful for anything. But New York, of all the cities in the United States, owes the military more than any other city put together. Because there would be no New York without the military. And New York has a short memory. There are more 9-10 New Yorkers than there are 9-1-1 New Yorkers. As a matter of fact, in about another week, they'll be saying that 9-1-1 never happened. And you'll read it in the Times. So let me give a tribute to the troops. As a matter of fact, Mayor Bloomingdale, who is in bed with George Soros this week, ought to be giving the keys to the city to every recruit, private, corporal, lance corporal if you're a Marine. They should be giving the keys to the city. They shouldn't have to pay for a cab fare. They shouldn't have to pay for a meal. Broadway shows should be doing extra shows free for these guys. Because without them, there would be no Broadway shows. There would be no taxis in New York. New York would be a ghost city. And it may yet be if Obama bin Laden doesn't stop playing the fool. He'd be in the Trump tent, tell doors, too. He wouldn't have a hotel if it wasn't for the military. He'd be in a tent on the outskirts of town. Do you think if Donald Trump was in a tent on the outskirts of town, it would be called the Trump tent? I'm watching the American Revolution today on the History Channel. It's very quite interesting. One of the things that was in one of George Washington's famous sayings is, "In times of peace, prepare for war." And that's from the founding of Father. That's from the first president, who seen things very clearly. Hi, boys and girls, it's Captain Boycott. I found this on the internet and I thought I'd share it with you. And then I'll tell you who wrote it. Twice in my lifetime, America, the arsenal of democracy, has come from behind to ensure victory. It is not evident that should another war arise, those producing it will make every effort to see that the arsenal of democracy is knocked out in the first round. How this can be done, I do not know. But I do know that the progress made in airplanes and self-propelled missiles is such that the possibility of an early knockout cannot be discounted. Perhaps a good illustration of what I am trying to put across to you is this. When I went to school, and I presume that is the same now, all of the children were taught how to form in column and march out of the building in an orderly manner in case of fire. This instruction did not, so far as I know, produce fires, but when fire occurred, the lives of the majority of children were saved. If we go to the extreme of saying that preparedness produces wars, then the instruction in fire drills would produce fires. Therefore, we should not teach children that a fire may come, that the building may burn, and as a result of such teaching, have the sad duty of removing the charred little bodies from the ruined schoolhouse. You men are all American citizens, and in your generation, you will have a very large voice in determining the election of our public servants and the enforcement of our laws. I am sure that you have found out that discipline, self-reliance, mutual respect, and faith are necessary in the Army. Those traits are just as necessary in civilian life. Laws which are not enforced had better not be promulgated. Referring again to the fire department aspect of the prevention of war, a very large proportion of the duties of the fire departments in large cities is not the extinguishing of fires, but their prevention through advice and supervision. You men are all potential firemen. You have put out the fire by your heroic efforts. It is now your duty as citizens to see that other fires do not occur, and that you and your children are not again called upon to extinguish them. I have been speaking to you not as your commanding general, but rather as an old man to young men. I am in no way trying to propagandize you, but as I said before, it is my considered opinion that my duty demands that I should explain to you things as I see them. Let me say that it is my profound hope that we shall never again be engaged in war, but also let me remind you of the words attributed to George Washington. In time of peace, prepare for war. That advice is still good. I am firmly convinced that we must have universal training, because the one hope for a peaceful world is a powerful America, with the adequate means of instantly checking aggressors. Unless we are so armed and prepared, the next war will probably destroy us. No one who has lived in a destroyed country can view such a possibility with anything except horror. Man is war, war is conflict, fighting is an elemental exposition of the age-old effort to survive. If we again believe that wars are over, we will surely have another, and damned quick. We had better look out for ourselves and make the rest of the world look out for themselves. If we attempt to feed the world, we will starve and perhaps destroy America. Roman civilization fell due to the loss of the will to conquer, satisfaction with the status quo and high taxes, which destroyed trade and private enterprise. These conditions eventually forced people out of the cities. The cycle is returning. It is very easy for ignorant people to think that success in war may be gained by the use of some wonderful invention like the atomic bomb, rather than by hard fighting and superior leadership. There are a host of people who have to squat to piss, who will say that this will be the last war, and that from now on we will only need world clubs. They are the ones who will be responsible for the deaths of millions of people. The pacifists are always at it. I met a visiting fireman of supposedly great eminence who told me that this was to be the last war. I told him that statements since 2600 B.C. had signed such statements. Since 2600 B.C. had signed the death warrants of millions of young men. He replied with the stock lie. Oh, but things are different now. My God, will they never learn? There are all kinds of low-class slime who are trying and will continue to try to wreck this country from the inside. Most of them don't know it, but they're actually working for the Russians. Some of them do know it, though, and it doesn't matter whether they call themselves communists, socialists, or just plain foolish liberals. They are destroying this country. Politicians are the lowest form of life on earth. Liberal democrats are the lowest form of politicians. I really shudder for the future of our country. Someone must not only win the war, but also the peace. I believe that Germany should not be destroyed, but rather should be rebuilt as a buffer against the real danger, which is Russia and its Bolshevism. The difficulty in understanding the Russian is that we do not take cognizance of the fact that he is not a European, but an Asiatic, and therefore thinks deviously. We can no more understand a Russian than a Chinese or a Japanese, and from what I have seen of them, I have no particular desire to understand them, except to ascertain how much lead or iron it takes to kill them. In addition to his other amiable characteristics, the Russian has no regard for human life, and they are all out sons of bitches, barbarians, and chronic drunks. Russia knows what she wants, world domination, and she is laying her plans accordingly. We, on the other hand, in England and France, to a lesser extent, don't know what we want. We get less than nothing as a result. If we have to fight them, now is the time. From now on, we will get weaker, and they will get stronger. Let's keep our boots polished, bayonets sharpened, and present a picture of force and strength to the Russians. This is the only language that they understand and respect. If we fail to do this, then I would like to say we have had victory over the Germans and have disarmed them, but we have lost the war. The one thing that I could not say and cannot yet say publicly is that my chief interest in establishing order in Germany was to prevent Germany from going communist. I am afraid that our foolish and utterly stupid policy in regard to Germany will certainly cause them to join the Russians and thereby ensure a communistic state throughout Western Europe. We have destroyed what could have been a good race of people, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages and all of Europe with communism. Poland is under Russian domination, so is Hungary, so is Czechoslovakia, and so is Yugoslavia, and we sit happily by and think that everybody loves us. It seems to me that Russia has a certain sphere of influence in Korea, Manchuria, and Mongolia. We promised the Europeans freedom. It would be worse than dishonorable not to see that they have it. And that's where I finished up. But you know what? You listen to what Patton says, and the enemy is only slightly different. And the day will come when the draft will have to come back if we have time to assemble. And I do believe his philosophy is right about the next great hit. And I think that when you look at 9-1-1, that was only two planes and that was only two buildings in one city. And God help us if that's 1,000 planes and 1,000 buildings and 100 cities. And anybody who thinks that they're immune because they don't live in New York City is also being very foolish. Talk to you, boys and girls.
Did you see the four terrorists
alleged terrorists, gotta use ACLU talk, who tried to blow up two Jewish synagogues or schools, and take down a cargo plane at Stewart Air Force Base. You know, when they were arrested, after they were sold the explosives, they thought were explosives, but they were not explosives. And they had planted the bombs outside the Jewish facilities. And then the FBI closed in on them. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow. Yeah, and they all have prison records, or three of them have prison records, and they all converted to Islam in prison. And they attended a mosque in Newburgh. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow, wow. Yeah. And they're all black. They're black Muslims. And they're American citizens. Wow. Wowie, wow, wow, wow. And the governor decorated 100 police officers for their role in the apprehension. And he said, New York is safer tonight. What does he know? Isn't he Abdul Rahman? Isn't he the blind sheikh? Isn't he supposed to be in prison? Who let him out? Wow. Wowie, wow, wow, wow. I always thought that Islam was a good religion until 9/11. And then I started to have my doubts. And I also thought that Islam was good for black guys in prison because it gave them a religious makeover. But I didn't know that they were just being indoctrinated to kill for Al-Qaeda. Kill by proxy for Al-Qaeda. So here's three American citizens that were given the best of what this country has to offer, and they took a big dump on America. And now we're going to pay for them to eat and get fat in a hotel with bars. Unbelievable. What's going to happen when all the jails are full? Is the president going to forgive them their sins? Or is he going to make room for the Gitmo detainees and release 2 million convicts? Yeah. California is a disgrace. California, I just like to have the money that California spends on illegal immigrant prisons. I'd like to have that money. Wouldn't you? So I no longer have faith in Islam. I'm sorry. It's the program. It's the program. It's like a college degree. Yeah, you got to take the course to get the course. Nah, I don't buy the religion of peace. No, no. No, not when I hear words like 72 virgins, a jihad, in the name of the merciful God, but they show no mercy to women and children. And they beat their wives up on Friday nights. Yeah. If you're a Sunni Muslim, your wife gets two black eyes. If you're a Shia, your wife gets hung off the back of a tow truck. Yeah, this is some religion. A savage says they dress their women like chattel. And they put those shower curtains on them. The sealess shower curtains. I saw a situation once that really turned my stomach. It was a hot August day at in a hospital zone. And a guy, an Arab gentleman, was walking on the sidewalk. And it was hot. And he was wearing a blue soft cotton shirt. And he was wearing a light pair of pants. And I think he had on a pair of sandals. Then he had his shades. And behind him, following behind him about 20 paces, was this woman wearing an overcoat with the hijab buttoned up like it was winter time. And I said, my God. And we're letting this go on in the land of the free and the home of the broke. And speaking of the broke, the credit card laws that Obama passed, they're nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no help there for the oppressed. Obama made a deal with the bankers. And speaking of making deals with the bankers, I'm very apprehensive about GE getting into comedy. And what's the CEO's name? Jeffrey Tunemelt? I see him sitting with Obama. And I said, gee, isn't that something? He's going to get money to send equipment to Iran. He's going to borrow the money from the U.S. government to send equipment to Iran. He owns MSNBC, which is Marine Killing NBC, and Newsweek, all right? He's got his hand in Newsweek. And who's sitting next to him? George Soros. What is this? What's going on here? Did the money changers move from the temple in Jerusalem? I mean, when Jesus drove them out, where did they go? Washington, D.C.? It's unbelievable. Let me give you a tune to make your day. What's the greeting in Islamic prisons in the United States? Salam alaikum, Mother Fletcher. Oh, you can't say what's in your heart, Mr. Tom. You have to you have to embrace all, even the ones that kill you. Yeah, you want to do me a favor? You kneel next to the cockpit door and listen to Khalid the Virgin Counter. My next topic is bring back the draft. You got a 50% divorce rate in this country. You got 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie. Okay? You can't trust the lawyers. Everybody is looking to score the big one. In a lawsuit. It's time to bring back the draft. The age of reason in the United States has gone from 16 and a half to 29. In World War II, you had guys who were 16 who lied about their age to go fight for their country. Nobody's paying reparations to the 500,000 who died in the Civil War to free the slaves. It's unbelievable. I say bring back the draft, and I'll tell you why. It'll cut down on the divorce rate. It will cut down on the crime rate. Do you know that if you broke the law in the 50s, before the judge would send you to prison, he would tell you, son, you've got two choices, jail time or military time. Semper Fi, my ass, Your Honor. I want to do a drive-by in an Abrams tank. And that's how people got straightened out. Today, nobody's getting straightened out. Now they stand in front of the clerk at the CVS complaining that it's taking too long to be waited on. There's no humble pie anymore in the United States. Somebody ate it all. The last generation ate it. Now we're all arrogant. You got to learn to stand in lines, and you got to learn to roll with the punches. And if you don't have any skin in the game, you're half an American. You're not a full-blown American. And the least you can do is give your country 2 years of your time to pay him back for all it does for you. Not to pay this country back and these politicians, but to pay the last generation who sacrificed everything so you could have an extra latte. You think about that. Take a good look. When you look in the mirror, look at yourself, and then look at a guy who is from the last generation. And compare notes. And they all stayed married. The only way you could get a divorce, you had to go to Mexico. And the only ones who could afford to go to Mexico were Hollywood actors. I know the military hates the idea of a draft. They like what they have. But sorry, guys, you got to train the country. Because when you fall, there's no one at all. Everybody has to have the experience. You got bad feet, you go into the bad foot platoon. You got a big ass, you go into the diet platoon. You got a complaint and you want to whine, and you go into the keep your mouth shut platoon. And after the revolution, when I become president, the first thing I'm doing is I'm firing all of the ambassadors to foreign countries. I'm throwing them all out on their ass. You cannot buy that job anymore. I'm going to replace them with guys, veterans in wheelchairs, whose family will appreciate the job. So when some insolent European turns to the American ambassador and says, America is an aggressive country. Our ambassador can say, yeah, tell me about it. And here's the reasons why we need a draft. It brings us together as a nation. It gives us a sense of pride and esprit de corps. It takes us out of our environment for the big look. You will never be in better physical shape. It teaches teamwork and respect for each other. It matures a person rapidly. I told you the age of reason in the United States is 29. You get to serve your country. It's the best place to start the American journey. It helps you focus on your future. Everyone should serve their country once. And number 11, everybody gets to wear the same underwear with their name in it. And speaking of wearing the same underwear, did you see what the Times did to those guys in Afghanistan that came under fire? There were three guys in a fight back position. Two of them were wearing full battle gear, and one guy had a helmet, a vest on, and he had a I Love New York shorts and a pair of shower shoes. That's how fast he scrambled to defend his country. You know what? You can't even make the subway on time. And I hope he comes on. I hope he does an appearance and he does his strip and we get to see his shorts again. Hang in there. And you know the Times did that with malice. They did that to mock the U.S. military. But you know what? You see, the Machiavellian plots of crazy people always goes astray. You know, people still want to see Obama's papers. What are you going to do if you find out that he has no papers and that he's an illegal immigrant? What are you going to do? Oh, we'll have to change the law. Is that how you do it? You get over onto people and then you change the law? That doesn't sound like fair and square Americana to me. Mike Savage is having a big problem with England, and he's appealed to Hillary Clinton to defend his case. And he's trying to lure her with verbal bribes, saying she'll stand out as fair and impartial. Do you know what she's doing right now? She's throwing darts at Mike's pitcher, singing Rule Britannia. But actually, they changed that tune to Cruel Britannia. And I say, if he doesn't get any help from Hilarious Clinton, who's probably laughing like crazy, and no cooperation from the right, who refuses to recognize him as a conservative, he'll be left with no choice but to declare war on England. And I suggest that he get the book, The Mouse That Roared. He can rent a Spanish galleon with a sail that says, "Don't tread on me," or a clipper ship. He can clip England. Set sail from Ireland or France and stay outside British waters, embarrassing the Parliament. And that's what I would do, Mike. I would declare war on England. I would have the press, I would occupy the press every night with another headline. Remember when Osama bin Laden told the world that the British do not torture, only the Irish torture, I mean only the Americans torture, and he's going to set a good example. Do you know how many swallows of Guinness was spit out in Irish pubs when they heard him say that? Yeah. Show me your fingernails, boys. That's what they're going to do to Savage. I wouldn't be surprised if Savage ends up in the Tower of London. Savage is going to be another Kevin Barry. Just before he faced the hangman in his dreary prison cell, Jackie Smith tortured Savage just because he would not tell the names of all his companions and other things they wished to know. "Turn informer, or we'll kill you." Michael Savage answered no.
In Mountjoy Jail, one Monday morning, I upon the gallows tree, Kevin Barry gave his young life for the cause of liberty. Just a lad of 18 summers, and there's no one can deny, as he marched to death that morning, he proudly held his head up the hangman in his dreary prison cell. British soldiers tortured Barry just because he would not tell the names of his companions and other things they'd wish to know. Turn informer and we'll see you, Barry proudly answered no. Another martyr for old Ireland, another murder for the crown, whose cruel laws may kill the Irish but cannot their spirits down. Lads like Barry are no cowards from
like Bari will free Ireland, for the cause they'll fight and die. Lads like Bari will free Ireland, for the cause they'll fight and die.
After we replace all the ambassadors with veterans in wheelchairs, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to put all politicians off limits to special interest groups. Any politician caught with somebody in a special interest group gets the death penalty. We'll put an end to that stuff real quick. No special interest groups. You just put a big sign on the outskirts of Washington, latrine closed. That's number one. And number two, whether you're GE or John Doe, the biggest contribution you can make to a crooked politician is $1. $1, that's it. And they don't have to buy airtime. The airtime should be free. And MSNBC can give it to them because they got no listeners anyway. And speaking of Marine killing MSNBC, has Keith Doberman got his shots yet? We'll be right back. Here's my plea to the RNC. Please do not rotate the losers in the RNC. McCain is finished, and so is his daughter. I voted for McCain because of his Hanoi time. My debt is paid. Now I only see Ted Kennedy light. He could not win. He is only a bad memory. And definitely he should not be going forward for defeat number two. Besides, his staff sabotaged Sarah Palin. If McCain had supported Sarah Palin as Sarah served him on all fronts, the outcome would have been better. Already, the Repuppies are in disarray, sitting back and blending with the paneling, waiting for Obama to fall so they can say, "We warned you." That's not going to cut it. Neither is having Mitch McConnell as party spokesman. This guy can't get a heart from the Wizard of Oz. He's another Arlen Specter, waiting for his call from the Queen of Diamonds. Did you know that 40 days before 9-1-1, old Mitch McConnell voted to burn the flag, SJR-7? He was one of eight Repuppies who went over to the party of death, calling flag burning a freedom of speech. Another one was Fred Thompson of Hollywood. No, not Fred the conservative. Please keep that to yourself. No more Orrin Hatchett, who spread his cloak over a puddle so that Ruth Bader Meinhof Ginsburg could assign to the pro and no-choice throne. Don't you wish that Rudy Giuliani was an attorney general instead of Fredo? Do you think that 2,000 car dealers summoned business? Hang in there. 2,000 car dealers summoned business making money since 1939 would be left high and dry by Mitt Romney? Never happened. Wouldn't you like to see Ann Coulter as head of Human Pro-Life Services? Wouldn't you like to see a government not run by George Soros and the AC Lulus? Would you like to see a bigger Gitmo? You know who thinks bringing Al-Qaeda to be tried in Mayor Bloomingdale's a three-term New York is a bad judgment call? Louis Pepe. Louis was a New York City federal jail guard who was overpowered by two Al-Qaeda. Now, you look at those Gitmo pictures. There's two things I'm going to tell you about them. When they show pictures of Gitmo, they always show the same guy being escorted by two guards. He's got skinny ankles. You ever notice that? He's a classic. When they try, he must be the only guy left in Gitmo. All the rest have been eaten by polar bears. Offloaded from a nuclear submarine under Admiral Cheney, who gets big money from Halliburton. Like, Halliburton's the only business in America, huh? How about GE, Communist GE, who's down to $7 a share, while Jeffrey Tunemelt plays a talk show host? Yeah. So, where were we? Yeah, talk to Louis Pepe. Louis Pepe was a New York City federal jail guard who was overpowered by two Al-Qaeda. One sprayed hot sauce in his eyes and the other stabbed him in the eye up to his brain. And today Louis sits in the dark. And you want to bring these guys here? What are you, crazy? Louis sits in the dark. Louis took care how to take care of two of them. And in Gitmo, they got three guys on one bad guy. Oh, we'll put an extra one on. Sure you will. Until Friday comes around. What? Ralph calls in sick. Louis sits in the dark the rest of his life and has convulsions. And the best heartbreaker is a female liberated judge declared Al-Qaeda did not commit an act of terrorism against Louis Pepe. And she ordered Louis to be removed from her courthouse. When he protested that his life was over. It gets better. The videotape showing the assault disappeared. How's that for covering up your mistakes? When I think of that videotape disappearing, I think of rules of engagement about the American embassy in Yemen. I don't trust this government as far as you can stick a shake at them. She ordered Louis to be removed from her cat house when he protested that his life was over. And it gets better. The tape showing the assault disappeared. Google Louis Pepe and weep. He was planning to take care of his parents in their old age. Now they take care of him. And you know what his father said? He says, I can't be fixing this house up forever. I'm getting old. I'm going to be passing on. And then Louis's going to sit in the dark alone. He does have a sister who comes and reads to him. But this is his payment, his pension? Is this how you want your pension? We need a fight-back party, not an amalgamation of maple syrup or Republicans. I want to see some real flapjacks. If we don't regroup masterfully, like Ben Franklin says, we will all hang separately. And I'd rather go down to 25% of the voting population conservative than 50% knowing I can't count on the other 25%. When I go into battle, I want to know we're all on the same page. There's a lot wrong with this country. 50% divorce rate, 1 out of 5 families. And another thing you don't need to send to Washington is one more lawyer or one more millionaire. 1 out of 5 families hurt by drug addiction. No draft. And California has the highest abortion rate in the country. Look proud, California. Yeah, and you're worried about emissions. Yeah. Yeah. God is gone. The oil is capped. Needs a conservative makeover. Throw out the leftovers. No more terms for termites. And in case you forgot, today is a great day to remember 9-1-1. And if you go to my website, spiritofamericapartybook.com, just look for the video. It says click below to see the video. And click on that and you'll get a refresher course on why we're at war with Islam. With the bad Muslims. Not the good ones. There's one out there. There's one good one out there. The bad Muslims. Yeah, we're all watered down Americans now. Yeah, we've been politically corrected. That's what they call it now. In Stalin's time, they called it brainwashing. And the first thing the communists did was get rid of the churches. Isn't that what's happening today, comrade? Ask Jeffrey Tunemelt, who's rubbing elbows with Obama bin Laden for money. How's that? Jeffrey's going to get a loan, and he's going to get a pass. He's going to be able to sneak uranium to the Iranians, who are going to change their name to the Uraniums. You think about that. You're being sold out. They don't even know it.
A gargantuan explosion. Oh my God, I don't believe it. The northeast corner has exploded in the most incredible explosion. Flames are flying out of the building. They're 5-10 stories high now. Black billowing smoke. The building corner, the whole entire corner is gone.
Both World Trade Center buildings in New York City right now, heaps of rubble. At 9 o'clock this morning, a plane crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan.
I heard the noise. I was in my office, and I heard the guy screaming. So I ran out, and everybody was saying, oh, my God, and they're in tears. They're crying. Everybody's upset.
I was trying to make phone calls. I looked up, and I heard an explosion, and then I saw everybody in the street react first. People crying, people on the ground, everybody lying down. And then I looked up, and I saw this huge plume of smoke, and the tower just crumbling. And it just turned into a huge plume of smoke, and next thing you know, there's smoke in one tower.
Shortly after 9 o'clock, a second plane crashed into the second tower.
Oh, my God. I heard a noise coming in incredibly low. And then I was standing here looking out the window, and I knew it was going to crash, and something was going to hit the building. I dove away from the window because I thought the explosion was going to implode the windows and I'd be shattered with glass flying out. As soon as it hit, I came back and there was a ball of flame.
I'm still shaking. I saw it hit the tower and flame everywhere.
Then minutes later, President Bush in Sarasota, Florida, called those crashes an apparent terrorist attack and a national tragedy.
Today we've had a national tragedy. Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country. Terrorism against our nation will not stand. May God bless the victims, their families, and America.
Then an aircraft crashes near the Pentagon just outside of Washington, D.C. in Northern Virginia about an hour after those attacks in New York.
Looking out our 12th floor windows at 1600 Wilson Boulevard in Roslyn, Virginia, and I watched this. It looked like a commuter plane, two engine, come down from the south, real low. Proceed right on and crash right into the Pentagon.
Then shortly after 10 o'clock this morning, one World Trade Center tower in New York collapsed.
Lots of smoke, and then the next thing I heard, an explosion, and the building from the top, the south building, just crumbled.
Just after 10:30 this morning, the other World Trade Center tower collapsed.
We were standing there looking up at flames coming out of the building and smoke billowing out of the building and police and FBI everywhere, and suddenly we heard a rumble and the sky was full of smoke. Everybody ran, crowds of people running through, I mean, shouting out to each other not to fall into the subway entrances.
So it's just truly amazing, because yesterday afternoon we were sitting in the World Trade Plaza Center having lunch, and so now those two buildings are completely destroyed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the
itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Make no mistake, the United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts. We will do whatever is necessary to protect America.